Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 4, and I'm Libya, your host. And this week we have a returning guest, Greg. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hey, greetings from the Midwest.
And we have a new guest this week, Ronnie.
Hi, this is Ronnie from Las Vegas.
Yay! All right, let's start off with some news. There was some pretty big news this week. I mean, there were some hints that some of this might happen, but the big news this week is 24 has officially been canceled.
Oh. Mm. So, I did not hear that.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I know that, Greg, you're a big fan of 24, but honestly, I kind of feel like it's about time. I feel like there are no more surprises on the show anymore, so I hope they just have a really good finale. Like, they gave them notice to let them know, okay, this is your last season, come up with a good finale.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. At least have the show go out with a bang instead of, you know, rehashing the same ideas over and over again each year.
And I really feel like that's what they've been doing this season, so we'll talk about that when we get to 24.
And that's the buzz anyway, that, you know, it's time, you know?
Right, and I really do feel, I'm not upset. Like, when other shows get canceled that are, I feel like that are in their prime, you know, I get sad. But this one, I'm like, okay, it's been 8 years, it's about time. And I'd rather, it's actually getting to the point where watching the show is kind of a chore. So, I think it's time.
You know, one bit that I actually, you know, read, like, say, in TV Guide is that they are planning for a movie, probably, you know, 18 months, between the end of it and 18 months, they are planning for a movie for it, though.
Well, a movie might be cool because that's only 2 hours. So 24
right.
hours and 2 hours would probably be pretty cool. The problem is, right now, it feels like it's so hard to fill those 24 hours that it doesn't work anymore. They keep redoing the same things. In Big Bang news, I don't know if this exactly counts as a spoiler because I really don't know that much. Other than they've apparently cast the girl from Blossom from the 80s. She's been cast to be Sheldon's love interest.
Really?
So they're going to try to go there. I don't know if it's going to be successful, but and they're very coy in the ad when they talk about it. You don't know if she's going to become his girlfriend, but that's kind of where they're, I think they said they're going to try it and see what happens. But I'm sure the writers know. But I thought that was interesting, and I'm kind of excited about that because I really do like Sheldon.
Well, that is very interesting because at Comic-Con last year, they kind of asked if Sheldon was going to have a love interest, and the reply back was that, well, we really think that science, Sheldon's only love is science, and so that's how they're going to keep the character. So this is very interesting that they've done a 180 on this.
Yeah, and apparently, I don't really know any more than that, and even if I did, I think we would delve into spoilers, and I don't really want to go there. So, yeah, I'm excited, because Sheldon's character is by far the most interesting on that show.
Yes.
And then, in other news, apparently, Sci-Fi Channel has decided to dip their toes into comedy. They're going to do a half-hour comedy starring Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville. And I didn't see what it was called. But it's going to be a one-camera comedy, and I'm curious but frightened at the same time.
I agree. Oh, my gosh. Sci-fi, they never stick to what they're supposed to anyway, so it should be interesting.
Well, I mean, yeah, with the wrestling and the reality shows.
Yeah, I was going to comment on the wrestling. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And there was, I can't even think of the name of it. They did this one attempt to do, like, the sci-fi, sort of, like, live action with stop motion. Oh, what? I can't think of the name of it. And oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, they should stick to the one, because they said that their programming is 70% dramas, and I'd say out of those 70% dramas, Battlestar was good, and Caprica is pretty good, and Eureka's good, and I actually do like Stargate Universe, surprisingly. I didn't think I was going to, but I do. So I'd say, they got 3 good dramas on there. All the rest of the stuff that they try to do, like all their movies, and they're just so bad. So I am at least gonna check out the first one to see what this train wreck is gonna be like. It would be surprising. I mean, because I like Michael Rosenbaum, so I would like for the show to be good, but I'm not holding my breath on that. The next news is Battlestar Galactica alumni, Michael Trucco. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Samuel Anders, for those who don't. He is going to be showing up on two of the shows we watch. He's going to be on Castle as a detective that knows Beckett or something like that. So I guess he's going to be a potential rival for Castle. And I was like, yeah, he could. He's a good-looking guy, and he's a big guy, so I could kind of see Castle being intimidated by him. And the other is he is going to be John May on V, the head of the Fifth Column.
Really?
Yes. So
now that's very interesting.
Yeah. So I'm actually more excited about his V role because we keep hearing about John May, but we haven't seen him yet. So yeah, I'm super hyped about that. The other thing on pilot news, there is a pilot, a drama, sort of. They're calling it a dramedy. It's called No Ordinary Family.
Did you just say dramedy?
Yes, I did. It is a new term. It is a new term. it is the pilot is called No Ordinary Family, and it's starring Michael Chiklis and Julie Bentz from Buffy and Dexter. And basically, it's some family that crash lands in the Amazon, and when they get back home, they find out they have superpowers. And I was like, is that The Incredibles? Like, that was my first thought. And yeah, the family's all going to find out they have superpowers when they get back from the Amazon. That could either rock or suck. I'm not quite sure which one it's going to be.
Depending on how they do it, yeah.
And the last piece of news is I'm just going to remind you guys of the shows that are coming back next week and in a couple of weeks. We have V, Fringe, and Stargate Universe come back next week. Woohoo!
Woo! Yes!
Woo! And then Glee comes back April 13th. And Doctor Who premieres the Saturday of Easter Sunday, which is, I think, next week in the UK. And then we get it on BBC America 2 weeks after that.
Oh, 2 weeks, okay.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And I find that as we're getting closer to the start date of Doctor Who, I'm getting more excited. I was totally blah about the new Doctor, but I miss my Doctor Who, I find. So I'm excited. I want to see it. I'm hoping that it's good. And I'm not going to make my David Tennant fiasco mistake again this time. I will give the new Doctor a chance. And
thank you.
we
appreciate that.
Some of the people who have known me for a while understand what I'm talking about, which is my refusal to watch Doctor Who after Christopher Eccleston left.
Eccleston is my doctor.
I was like, Eccleston is my doctor. There is no other doctor in the universe. I refuse. And so I refused to watch the new Doctor Who for 2 years. And everyone was like, you have to watch it. It's so great. And I was like, David Tennant sucks. And that was all based on, I think I saw the Christmas Invasion where he was unconscious for most of the episode. Like, and so I based that judgment on that.
He can just flop around.
I know. And I waited for him to say fantastic. And when he said it, I was like, boo, he doesn't say fantastic right. And so I was like, I'm out. And I got completely burned by that because now I'm the biggest David Tennant fan ever.
Oh yeah, that's an understatement.
So
David Tennant sneezes, Libby is like right there. Okay, here he is.
Yeah, you can hang your restraining order right next to the one.
Yes, yes. He does not. The only reason he doesn't need a restraining order is because he's in England and I'm not. So there's no need for restraining orders, and I'm pretty good. I just like all his work, and I just watch all the stuff, and I'm a big fan. But,
yeah, that was a Big Bang Theory joke.
Oh yes, I actually got the reference. Thank you very much. I'm just trying to make the people listening think I'm not a stalker or something. You guys are making me sound creepy.
Yes, but you're a very nice stalker. It's a difference.
No. I just watch his stuff on TV. Like anything he's in, I've now seen it. I was watching something else of his recently, and he's got a new series coming out, which I'm totally gonna watch. But the whole point of that is that my emotional state after the doctor dies is very much sad and angry. So whoever shows up next, I don't want to see them. And that was my response to Matt Smith when I was crying when David Tennant's character went away. And then you get the new guy, and I was angry. I was like, I don't like you. But, you know, flashbacks. And I've decided I'm going to give this guy a new chance, a chance, and actually watch the whole fifth season. And I do like Moffat. He's a fantastic writer, so I'm excited about that. So let's.
And I think that's what I'm excited about too. Is that with the new staff, it's like, what direction are they going to go, and how is it going to change that way as well? Besides the new doctor, also what's going to change with the story? You know?
Well, unfortunately, I found out the first episode we get Daleks again. I was like, really? Come on, give me something new.
Yeah, Cybermen.
Oh, please, no more Cybermen. Please, for the love of God. I do not want to see...
Exterminate!
Yeah, if I never... I was like, if I never see another Dalek, I will be happy. But apparently, though the design of the new Daleks looks interesting, I think they're back in time or something, so the Daleks look weird.
Yes.
And I'm like, all right, I'll give it a you know, I just miss Doctor Who, so I'm excited that it's coming back. Yay.
And I think in the trailer I also saw one of the Weeping Angels, which would be interesting to have them come back.
Oh yeah, I'm excited about that. Oh, Greg, have you seen the new trailer yet?
No, I haven't.
You should check YouTube or BBC America site. The new trailer looks pretty good, so
yes.
that's why I'm actually excited now. So I'm like, ooh, we're getting new Doctor Who. All right, let's start off with the shows on Sunday. Am I still the only one who's watching The Pacific?
Yes.
Yes.
This is my heavy sigh. You guys are going to end up watching it after me. But we finished the Battle of Guadalcanal, which, you know, which is like a whole big deal. I like the historical factor of it, and I like the fact that they always give us really interesting characters, and they bring the people in who actually fought there to talk about it. And then you kind of get the reenactment of their experience there. So I really find that very fascinating. But they finished Guadalcanal, and I'm not sure what battle they're going to do next. The only thing that fills me with a little trepidation is you kind of know how the War in the Pacific ends. So I'm like, I don't know if I actually want to see that. But I don't know that much about the Battle in the Pacific other than the end of it. So it's good. They've got some really good actors. The only thing is, in Band of Brothers, because you can't help but, you know, compare them. In Band of Brothers, there was a through character, and I cannot believe I'm forgetting his name because he's one of my favorite actors. He's a guy from Life. Someone help me.
I can't think of his name.
I just blanked on this man's name, and I love him. Anyway, the detective from Life, for the people, and you guys can yell at me and tell me what his name is, because I completely blanked on it. He was the through character in Band of Brothers, and you kind of watched everything through his eyes. Did you think of it?
Damian Lewis?
Thank you! You get a cookie.
Yes, Damian Lewis. Thank
you!
Oh
my God, I love that guy.
He's good.
And he was the main character in Band of Brothers, and you followed him from beginning to end, from boot camp all the way to... I think he made, like, some rank. I forgot, like, major or colonel or something. So you followed him through the whole war. I mean, you followed other characters, too, but he was your through point. And what I find on the Pacific, there are characters, but there so far there's no through character yet that I have noticed. Because we did the Battle of Guadalcanal, and those guys, once they finished, they sent them home. Because it was such a traumatic experience. Because if you guys know, like... They basically got abandoned on Guadalcanal because the Navy got destroyed, so they had no supplies, no way to get off the island, and they were completely surrounded by the Japanese. And they were there for months, and they were starving, and they ran out of ammo, and all of that. And because that experience was so bad for them, they sent them home after it was, you know, over. They sent them back to at least recover and get their, you know, come back from the brink of starvation. So I get the feeling that those characters are gone. Like, the characters I've been following from Guadalcanal, I'm not going to see them anymore. So I miss that through point of the characters. But anyway, on to the next show, since I am the only one watching that one. I will change all of your minds. I will brainwash you in your sleep.
And you are good at doing that, too.
That is my specialty. All right, Ronnie, hit me with your impressions of Desperate Housewives with Mr. John Barrowman this week, since you are our resident Desperate Housewives expert.
I wouldn't say expert, because I did stop watching it at least 3 seasons ago. I still saw it at the beginning. So it was actually interesting to come back and to watch this episode, really, because I just wanted to see John, and he only had about 2 minutes in it. But it was nice kind of revisiting and seeing where they've come with the series. You know, now that Gabby, now that she has a kid, and, you know, now that the other kids have grown up, and we were talking about this earlier, with one of the twins having the fake mustache. It was quite interesting.
I called it the porn stash. Be specific.
I was trying to be nice. I didn't know what this podcast is rated, so I figured it better.
Yeah, the porn stash was very distracting, but go ahead.
Barrowman coming in as Patrick Logan, and I didn't completely understand the story at first. I had to read up a little bit more about it, but for me, especially for him coming in, and he did such a great scene, you know, very kind of scary with breaking the window, you know, and ending with holding the rope or whatever, and wondering what's going to happen next.
Well, I'm pretty sure she's dead. But what I liked about it was he came off as very charming. Like, he comes to the door with flowers, and he's all nice and charming to her. And I don't think he decided to kill her until the moment that she was like, well, I've given you this information, and you're not going to do anything to harm this woman, right? You just, you know, she was like, because if something happened to her, then, you know, I'll know it's you. And I think that moment, that was when he was like, gonna have to kill you. At least that was my impression. But the change between the charming guy that's calling on the old elderly woman and the guy that decides, the change to him deciding he's gonna kill her, that was nice. And I know it's supposed to be chilling, but because I like Barrowman so much, I actually just started giggling. I was like, oh, he's gonna kill somebody. This is awesome. I don't think that was supposed to be the response.
No.
So, there you are. So, I'm looking forward to next week, because apparently he's stalking her sitting outside her house. I actually don't know which one of the women it is he's stalking, because I literally fast-forwarded the episode and to just his bits. That's, like, all I saw. And that is how I can intend to continue to watch his episodes in fast-forward. I've seen the pilot of Desperate Housewives. That's like all I've seen. I don't know anything that's going on. It's a soap. I don't need to get brought into the series. I don't need any of that. I'm just like, I thought about watching it when Nathan Fillion was on, but I couldn't watch it for Nathan. I was like, I love Nathan. Can't quite watch it. Apparently, I like Barrowman better. I didn't realize that until I was like, I think it's also because I'm missing him on television, too. So, there's
true.
That.
And actually, it was the season before Nathan Fillion came on that I had stopped watching it. And it was weird. I was thinking about this last night. It's like, but Nathan wasn't strong enough to bring me back to it. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's like stories, they're interesting, but there's just too much other stuff. You know what I mean? And so I just had to let it go.
Right. And, but yeah, it, and in case you guys wanted to know, the ratings from last year, ratings equivalent to this season, they went up, with Barrowman on. Like, sure, his fans have brought that many more people, but I'd like to believe so. Alright, so, and Craig is like scoffing. I hear you.
No, just to let the listeners know, I mean, Sundays for me, it's Family Guy, American Dad, Cleveland Show, Venture Brothers, and Robot Chicken. So that's my Sunday.
Yeah, and I watch none of those shows. But cool. I mean, well, I watch Family Guy like when it's on repeat and there's nothing on television and I see a repeat on, I'm like, oh, I'll turn to Family Guy, and I watch it. It's hilarious, but I never actually like set my TiVo to watch Family Guy. I don't know why. All right, let's move on. Big Bang Theory, guys, go for it.
Well, it was a pretty interesting episode. I mean, I'm not sure what they were doing with with Sheldon's character. I guess they were going for comedy there. with him getting drunk. I don't know. Ronnie, what'd you think?
And actually, it was fun. I like the end. I liked the beginning better with the Shatner jokes, especially. That was a nice way to sort of segment into it, you know? But then, like, you know, and how they, all the different things that he wasn't able to, you know, get up and give a speech. And so everybody's supporting him. I thought it was kind of funny. And I guess if we could say porn mustache, we can also talk about the cement as well. You know?
Yeah!
Oh, that's right.
He's like, you're not my X-Men because you are my semen.
I thought that was kind of, cute. And it was funny because at another podcast, Libby, you had talked about how you actually liked the scenes between Penny and Sheldon. And so to see, her trying to get him, I think actually the funniest part was when he was trying on all the different suits, you know what I mean? And it they just got more outlandish, Sheldon in white? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I like that. She's like, where did you find that?
Yeah, white tuxedo with tails. That was hilarious.
Yes.
But you're right. I think once they went into getting him drunk, he kind of lost something. I liked everything else before that. And I liked the whole counseling session with Leonard that ended up turning into Leonard wanting to talk about his mother issues.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Which continued on, until the speech as well,
Yeah, all of that was good until he got drunk, and then, it felt cheap.
It did.
Yeah, Sheldon is, I mean, he's always reserved, He doesn't really get out of control unless, of course, it has to do with Leonard Nimoy, but... I don't know, they've got Cuthbert Polly, and, when he drinks, he can actually talk to women, And they did have Sheldon, I guess, drinking in a previous episode when they were all at the Cheesecake Factory, and they substituted, his non-alcoholic beverage for an alcoholic one.
Oh, yeah, and he started singing and playing piano, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
But that still didn't feel like, he's taking his pants off during a speech.
Right.
Yeah, it's just that part wasn't funny. But everything else leading up to it I thought was pretty funny.
I did like the jokes, though, about the, electron, the bar, no charge, that sort of thing.
I actually didn't even listen to them, really. I was actually just groaning at everything else. So maybe I got to go back and actually listen to the jokes. All right, let's move on to Chuck this week. It's pretty dark.
Well, I kind of like the fact that they are progressing the storyline along, and that Chuck is becoming, closer to a spy, because... It almost seemed like they could get looped into this this comfortable spot with the show, where it's basically Shaw and Sarah and Chuck going on missions over and over and over and over again. So I'm glad at least that they're kind of pushing the storyline along. Chuck is becoming more of a spy. But I actually was, I don't know, I guess I have a bittersweet sort of feeling about the fact that Chuck really didn't shoot the guy, and it really was... so I guess he's kind of staying more human, I guess, than spy. But I guess
well,
I am disappointed.
Well, I mean,
he's not going to progress through with this secret, that he didn't really actually pass his test.
The only thing about that is once Chuck starts killing people, it becomes a different show. And... I understand why they wanted to toe that line and not go there, but then you kind of think, well, if they didn't really want Chuck to kill somebody, then they shouldn't have really brought it up. But I get the point of keeping Chuck in the human side of stuff, because you're supposed to, as the audience, feel for him and feel like you are him. So once you start making him a super cold, super professional spy, then it's a different show.
Yeah, and it looks like that they're gonna pursue this love triangle thing that's gonna go on between the three. And I guess the real wild card is what's really going to happen with
Casey?
Oh, yeah.
Casey. Yeah, yeah. Casey's story, I really like him a lot. I find the triangle boring, mainly because I find Shaw boring, and he doesn't feel like a real rival, because I don't buy it. He's sort of pretty, but I don't understand what Sarah sees in him, really. I find him... bland. And that's kind of why he didn't succeed as Superman.
Well, apparently it's because she likes spies.
Well, then she would be dating Casey. You know, it's not just she likes spies. I mean, Shaw came on pretty strong to her and was very much like, I like you. And so she decided she was going to go there. And I think part of it is she thinks that she has to let go of Chuck and move on. But, yeah, I don't buy the triangle. There's just no real heat to it with her and Shaw. I just don't believe that they really like each other. So, well, I think that he likes her, but in a creepy way. And I don't really think that Sarah, I don't buy that Sarah really likes Shaw. So, just my opinion. But I do like the fact that the show is edging a little more towards the dark. But, you know, they still do the comedy stuff. They still give you the laughs. But it is edging a little bit. Alright, speaking of dark, what about Castle? Castle this week went way into the dark. I mean, normally the show is just really just comedy and funny. This week, not so much.
Yeah. With, you know, sort of the new stalker. And actually, it's interesting even how Dana Delaney, you know, starring as, you know, Jordan Shaw in it. And it's kind of taking us back to Desperate Housewives, because she was his Nathan Fillion's wife on Desperate Housewives. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, to see them here in a different role.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, actually, yes. And so seeing them together now here, where she's the FBI agent, I thought it was very interesting how, as it starts to unfold, she comes in with all her high-tech gadgets and everything else in solving this case, you know?
And he gets super excited like a little puppy. And then,
oh, my gosh.
And then Beckett, of course, is super jealous, even though she's like, you're mine. You're supposed to give your ideas to me.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't. It's on my DVR, but didn't get a chance to watch it yet.
Well, it's actually kind of good that you didn't, because it's part one of two, and they haven't done that on Castle before, and it's a serious cliffhanger. So you might, if you haven't watched it yet, I would wait until Monday so you can watch them back to back, because it is a really good episode. I mean, I really liked it, and when it ended on the cliffhanger, I was yelling at my screen. So yeah, they did a good job.
Definitely.
Well, I did really enjoy last week's episode with Alyssa Milano, so I'll definitely catch this week.
Yeah. All right, listen, you go on to 24.
The episode was actually kind of disappointing. You know, they kind of built up this whole thing with the electromagnetic pulse, you know, that takes out CTU. And so that was, like, really big. You're like, oh, my gosh, what are they going to do? And then they, like, fixed everything in an hour. I mean, because, you know, the episode is an hour long. It's like, okay, so you have an EMP blow in CTU, and Chloe runs in and fixes it.
Well, at gunpoint, no less.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had that whole dynamic where she's like, I know what I'm doing. But, you know, if anyone who's involved in technology, I mean, all of the jargon they were using about, no, you can't tap into the trunk line because it's too dangerous, I was groaning, okay? Okay? You know, I mean, everything about telecommunications is low voltage, except the voltage that it takes to ring a phone, which is 90 volts, okay? Nothing about it's dangerous, okay? Phone rings at 90 volts, but all this stuff about, oh, if you tap into the trunk line, it's dangerous, and you could, you know, you could fry yourself and blow up. And then she, like, she just takes, like, these roach clips, basically, and, like, flips on to the wires. Okay, first of all, the electromagnetic pulse took out their power, okay? They have no lights in the entire place. But somehow, just by putting these roach clips on, everything, like, boots up? I do not think so. I was moaning, okay? You know?
Well, like, I didn't have the technical issues you had. My issue was Katie Sackhoff's character.
Oh, yeah, I was getting to that.
Well, I was just like, the thing about that is I don't know if you watch this, Ronnie, but every season, 24 has a mole. There's always a mole every year. And it's like a game. And you try to figure out, okay, the first time they did it in season one, it was fantastic. But then after that, it's like, who's going to be the mole? So every season you're waiting to see who's going to be the mole. Katie Sackhoff was by far the most obvious person that was going to be the mole. And so, but then she just kind of appeared to be too stupid. Like, all the situation with her ex-boyfriend coming back and her doing the crime with this guy, and then the parole officer showing up, and blah, 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 blah. And then when they reveal at the end of it that she's the mole, I was like, really?
Yeah, that was I thought that was bad. That was just bad. I mean, I like the whole tension of, okay, she's, you know, because it seemed like they had established her character. She was trying to do the right thing. She's trying to get married to this guy at CTU, but then she had this past life that kept intruding on what she was trying to do. So you had all this conflict, and she was just trying to, you know, get rid of that past life. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the episode, she just kills the guy, throws him behind the wall, and then calls up the terrorist guy. And I'm like, oh, really?
The only thing I have to
throw something into my television.
The only thing I have to say about that is it makes all the things that I thought she did that were stupid make a little more sense. Because before I was like, when I was watching it and she's got the old boyfriend, I was kind of like, well, why don't you just tell your boss that this guy's bothering you? Why don't you set this guy up? Why don't you tell your boyfriend? Why don't you, you know, like I had like 20 options of things she could do to get out of the situation, and I thought everything she did was stupid. The only thing, now it makes way more sense that she was trying to preserve her cover. If you think about it from she's trying to preserve her cover and she doesn't want anyone to know anything about her past because then they might start digging and then reveal her cover, I was like, oh, okay, well, that does make more sense, but I still hate it. Because it's not a surprise. There's nothing about it that goes, oh, my God, you know?
Well, then if you go from that standpoint, then why did she seem really genuinely scared when the parole officer came by? And then she calls up Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character, I can't remember his name. She calls him up and she's like, oh, the parole officer is here. You know, I don't know what to do. I think we've been caught or whatever. You know, why?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that doesn't quite make sense. Because then her solution should have just been, I got to kill the parole officer.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point. Yeah,
it seemed almost like, oh, let's pick the last five Cylons, and they threw a dart against the wall.
You did not just go there.
It was wrong, but he did it.
All right, I'll give you that one. But yeah, it was a pretty crappy mole reveal, and I give it an F for a mole reveal. Like, they've had some really good... They've had some really good ones where you're like, oh my God, who's the mole? And they actually surprise you with stuff, and this was not surprising at all. And I know you were all excited about the EMP pulse and be like, oh my God, the EMP, what the heck? They've done it like two or three other times where they've knocked out CTU, and Jack has had to figure out how to do the stuff on his own. And so I kind of like, when the EMP went off, I was like, again? We've done this already. So yeah. That kind of is, I'm tired of 24. I really am. Okay, let's do the V recap real quick.
Let me just add, I am glad that that did kind of give an excuse to bring Renee back into the storyline, because she was basically hanging out at Jack's apartment through all of this. So I'm glad she's back in it.
Okay, yeah, I do like Renee. That's true. All right, V recap. I mean, it's not a new episode, but they basically were like, okay, this is everything that happened, and it got me excited again. I'm ready for V.
You know, I agree, and it's like amazing how much I had forgotten. Like, you know, it was only four episodes that we had gotten anyway, so you didn't think it took the story that far. But as they did the recap, it's like, holy crap, I didn't realize that there were all these things revealed, and so I'm glad that they did put that together.
Well, what's the trip is, I noticed this time when I'm watching it that Anna and the girl playing her daughter actually look alike. And I was like, oh, they cast that on purpose. Cause they really, other than the girl is blonde, she looks exactly like Anna. And it's so weird. I was like, wow, that's good. That's good. I like, because, you know, it's one of those reveals that when they do the big reveal and then right. You go back and watch it later, everything totally works. And that's one of those things I thought that really worked. I don't want to talk about V too much. Well, one, we're behind schedule a little bit. But just that I'm ready for it to start next week. I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited. Let's go. All right.
I'm lukewarm about it. Sorry.
What? Did you watch the first four episodes?
You know, I can't get myself to do it. I can't.
Not at all.
I saw the pilot at Comic-Con, and I was like, oh, okay.
It gets really good. You should watch. It's only four episodes.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. I'll give it a shot.
Yes, it's on Hulu. Go watch.
It's not pulling me in, you know.
Well, I mean, give the first four episodes a chance, because it gets really good. I mean, I like the pilot more than you did at Comic-Con, but I just noted that as it went on, they had really good reveals and really good, like, Anna became really creepy. And the characters working together and all the stuff that was going on, it all works really well. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think as we're learning more about the fifth column, you know what I mean? And like, and so it's going to be neat, like you said, as we know now who John May is going to be, and bringing that aspect into it as well, because it's going to make it that much more complicated
right.
Whose loyalties are with who.
Yeah, because you didn't see anything about the fifth column in the pilot, and they really did a lot more of that in the next few episodes. So the fifth column is a much bigger deal. And and then you don't know about the whole Bliss thing and all that stuff. That's super creepy.
Well, they stay away from the thing that really got me was that, you know, the whole cliche of the single mom with the troubled teen just made me groan again, you know, and you know, I hope they don't have too much of, I hope he's not, you know, too much of the story, but...
He's a part of the story, kind of like you have to live with the Zoe of Caprica. He's not.
Oh, you did not go there.
It's the teen thing that you find irritating, but the other stuff is so good. Like and from the preview, we're not going to see a lot of the mother and daughter together, mother and son together, because the V are basically not. They're kind of holding him hostage.
They're grooming him to be, you know, their spokesperson.
Right. And so they're not letting him come off the ship. And
right.
So part of the conflict in the new episodes is going to be she's trying to get her son back, and she can't. So you're not going to have the, Mom, how come you won't let me stay out too late? And you're not going to get that. It's different.
Thank goodness. Okay.
Yes.
All right, the next show, Justified. Did you watch that, Ronnie?
Yes, I did. And I didn't see the pilots, but I really enjoyed this episode. Getting a chance to see, is it Raylan is the way you say his name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and I thought, very interesting episode with having to find this money and going and tearing up these houses. And the whole twist with that was, you know, I mean, it was really interesting to me.
Well, the only thing I was disappointed in was he actually drew his gun and didn't shoot anybody. Like, I was hyping that all last week about, oh, he never draws his gun unless he kills you. And this week, second episode, he totally drew his gun and did not kill the guy. And I was like, what? I was very affronted by that. But, I mean, under the circumstances, he really didn't have much of a choice because he's transporting a prisoner, and the prisoner makes a break for it and tries to escape. And he pretty much had to draw his gun to stop the guy from running away. But I was like, man, and you didn't shoot him? So yes, I was a little saddened by that, but the guy who plays Raylan has a lot of charm, and it really makes you want to watch the show.
It does.
But as far as long term, there's no long term like storyline as far as I can see so far.
Not so far. I think you know right now they're still it's the beginning, so they're setting it up, getting you familiar with this, you know, the people and sort of what's going to be happening. But again, not any time for development at this point.
Okay, speaking of a show that's somewhat similar, Human Target.
Ah,
what does that mean?
I love this show. You know, and this episode, at first I wasn't into it, but then I got really into it, and I really love, by the end of the episode, I really enjoyed it a lot. Because I think that they're now starting to, you don't get a lot of their backstory, but they keep a little bit by little bit. You start to understand the connections with them more. You know what I mean? And so it's just, to me, it's like the more I get to see Chance, the more I like him.
Yeah, and the kickboxing was fun because I think he was shirtless for most of the episode. So, you know, hey, thumbs up for that.
Hey, we'll take that, you know?
Yeah, I'll take it. But
guys,
they
still stay in shape.
But yeah, this episode you learn more about Chance and his big boss, because you learned last week about the boss that trained him,
right,
and apparently kind of abused him a little bit and changed his worldview, and so now he feels like he has to confront this guy to kind of take possession of his destiny, I guess, or whatever. So they introduced the concept of him having the yips because he's thinking about a battle ahead of him versus the one that's in front of him, and so it's messing up his concentration and all this other stuff. So, I mean, for them, the through points or their long-term story is who's this big boss guy and why is Chance afraid of him and all of that. So you're kind of, you know, you're excited and waiting for that. So I can't wait.
Yes, and it was nice to see Grace Park, you know, in the episode in the way that she played it.
Oh, yes. I forgot. She had on a nice red dress, too.
I didn't even recognize her.
Oh, my gosh.
I recognized her voice, and I kept looking at her. I'm like, that sounds like Grace Park. It doesn't look like Grace Park.
Well, what? She was prettier than you're used to seeing her?
She just looked different. I don't know what it was.
I mean, Grace Park did a good job because you couldn't quite read her. You didn't exactly know what she was thinking. And so that made her kind of mysterious and interesting.
Yes. And the way that, you know, at the end, it's revealed how she found out about it and then the double cross that she did. I thought it was just really nice.
Yeah. I was like, for a guy that's holding a woman hostage, trusting her with all his money made no sense. It's like, really? You're gonna let her write all your checks? Because you're holding her at gunpoint. Okay.
Well, but I think he saw, I mean, you know, not at gunpoint. He think that, you know, that she was his puppet. You know what I mean? He totally, you know, was able to trust her because he basically raised her. You know what I mean? And so
that's true.
I don't think he ever realized that she did want to go a different way. Because, you know, he took her for granted.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I thought brought out.
Yeah, and I did like the interesting relationship between Chance and Chi McBride.
Winston.
I really like their relationship, though there was this moment where they're talking by the limo and talking about, I love you, man. No, man, I love you, man. And his friend was like, get a room. And I had this image, though, that because they had just been talking about the boss was going to go after people that he cared about. And I had, like, this really bad feeling that Winston was going to get shot or something. So I was, like, waiting for something bad to happen to Winston.
Right. But, again, it's nice because they did show that part of their relationship, you know what I mean, and to see how close that they really are.
Right. Any comments, Greg?
No, not for me.
Okay. Supernatural! Woohoo!
Yeah. Just watched it today.
And?
The storyline, I guess, still builds on the main plot arc that's going through, you know, because, you know, we're getting closer and closer to Armageddon. But it was really, I mean, it was, for the most part, episodic because they resolved everything at the end of the episode.
We dealt with another horseman.
Yeah, that's true, but we didn't really get to see him or, you know, battle him face to face.
Yeah, but...
I agree. I like the other episodes where you do see the horsemen and they're right up there in your face. You know what I mean? Besides just whatever the monster or whoever, you know, sort of the bad guys are, to really understand that horseman. And like you said, this time it was all in the background.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of defeated the first guy, you know, by taking his ring. And then they defeated the second horseman, you know, or at least Sam did by, you know, pulling all the demons out of him. You know, but we really didn't see a face-to-face battle. With this one.
Yeah, but I think that's not what the episode was about. The episode was really about Bobby and what he's sacrificing to fight in this battle. And the fact that now the demons and Lucifer, he's on their map. And they're going to make him suffer for taking the side of Sam and Dean. So they're like, because Sam and Dean know that they're going to suffer because of the battle that they're in and who they are. But Bobby has never really had to suffer other than, you know, well, he got shot and lost his leg, so I guess that's kind of a big suffering. That's kind of big, but, I mean, the fact that they're like, okay, we're coming for you is a big deal. And the look of desolation on his face, you know, he's like, how many times do I have to kill my wife? You know, it's just, that was just heartbreaking. And the zombie stuff was like cheesy and you've seen it before and you're like, all right, whatever. But it was more about Bobby and his relationship with the boys and his relationship with his wife and all that. And that was really fantastic.
Yeah. So. I mean, I really liked, I actually liked the first part of the episode where, you know, you got these people who are coming back to life and, you know, and everyone kind of knows that obviously these people were dead, but now they're alive. But everyone's kind of ignoring the obvious that, you know, just because they want their loved ones back. And so it really made it kind of simplistic once they made the zombies turn. You know, once they made the zombies turn, then it was easy to see, you know, one side from the other, and then you could kill all the zombies. But before that, there was quite a bit of tension.
Yeah, because Bobby was kind of like, you're not, she's fine. She's just baking pies. Why are you going to kill her?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Next week's episode, by the way, I actually had this moment where I saw the title, Dead Men Wear Plaid. I was like, oh, it's going to be a funny episode. Yeah. No.
You know, in a way, I'm glad they pulled away from that, because I think for a while, earlier in this season, they got too funny. You know what I mean? It's like you want to see it where Dean is, you know, sort of funny off the cuff, but you don't want it all the time, you know?
Well, they have a big storyline this season, so you want more story-centric episodes, but, you know, every once in a while, I mean, tell you the truth, this season has been so heartbreaking and so depressing that the couple of episodes that they have that are light, I'm like, thank God. You know, so it's like, I don't think I can take anymore. And I know that the end of the season is going to be bad, so I'm like, I'll take what I can get right now.
I guess the interesting thing was, where was Castiel in all of this?
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be in next week's episode, but Castiel is, you never know which episode he's going to be in. But if he's in the episode, you know that it's a huge arc episode. That's always a given.
Right.
All right, let's go on. Flash forward. I know. Did you watch that?
Anybody? I didn't watch it.
No one? Well,
no, I haven't watched it yet either. It's on my DVR.
The only thing I'm going to say about this one, because I know Greg wants to watch it, is that Gabrielle Union, who is John Cho's wife, I don't remember characters, but you know the guy that's going to die on May 15th or March 15th? And his future, his fiance, you know, he finally told her everything that's going on, and that the gun that kills him is his partner's gun, and she freaking loses her mind. And she was out of control. Like, I understood that she loves him and she wants to save his life, but man, she went over every line of like any relationship you have with someone, she went over all the lines, every single one of them. And I was just sitting there amazed. I was waiting for him to break up with her. Like, she basically threatened his partner. And, like, he doesn't believe his partner's really going to kill him. You know, like, they're like, okay, we got to figure out what's going on and work together to stop it. And she goes over to his partner's house and, like, freaking threatens him and stuff. And it's like, why would you kill Dimitri? And he's like, I wouldn't. What are you talking about? And she's like, well, let's go over hypothetical situations and when you would. And he's like, really? Like, he's my best friend. Why would I kill him? You know, and so then he got annoyed with her and said something pretty funny. And then she goes to his work and starts issuing affidavits to his boss so that she can see the evidence to try to figure out why he gets killed. And he's like, are you out of your mind? Like, so now he's in trouble at work because now his boss is like, get control of your woman, man. Like, what the heck? You know, so she is... She's like on the verge of getting him fired from work, and she's threatened his partner and best friend, and she's just like way too controlling. And I get that she's freaking out, but she got negative girlfriend points from me. Like that was the one thing. Like, I mean, there was other plot stuff that I'm not going to talk about because you haven't seen it, and some reveals and some interesting stuff, but. The main thing that tripped me out was that relationship. I was like, cut her loose. It's like she's lost her mind. I understand that she's worried. And she kept saying, well, I'm doing this because I love you. And I was like, no. You lost your mind. Caprica, go forth.
Yeah, Caprica's episode this week was great, I thought. There was a lot more action. The plot lines, it seemed, were getting kind of old. I was getting really tired of the cyber world and Adama trying to find his daughter in the cyber world, and it seemed like each episode he was getting closer and closer, and they were kind of dragging it along, especially with him going into the club and then, you know, using the drugs and then, you know, so plus some of it didn't really seem to be believable because who would put on one of the devices. What are those devices called?
Holobands.
Yeah, the holoband. Who would put on a holoband and go into a game just so that they could be a coat check guy at a club. I mean, would anyone really do that?
Yeah, but then he gets to see everybody who comes into the club, though, you know?
Yeah, but all he does is collect people's guns. That's like his job. But he doesn't get paid because he's playing a video game.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well,
so
maybe there was a hierarchy, because that was, like, that club was like a big deal. So maybe it's like if you work at the coat check, then you get to be... I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah, you were grabbing on that one.
Well, go ahead.
Amanda Greystone's character was getting on my nerves. You know, how many weeks can we watch her drink herself to death with her hallucinations and finding out about, you know, the... You know, how her husband's been kind of deviant and all that. So I'm glad that it seemed like in this episode that they were ending some of those plot lines. So I'm looking forward to it continuing from this point forward. But I was kind of getting bored.
Well, I liked most of what was going on. I didn't like the wife, of course. And, you know, when she steps off the bridge, I was like, woohoo, I hope you drown. But I did like, I've always liked the daughter Tamara's whole Neo Matrix storyline. I find her interesting, but I do agree that Joseph Adama, with his whole addiction to amp that he was getting into, I was like, he's a drug addict now, really? You know, like, some of that got a little tired. But I was gratified when they did the big reveal that you find out the woman that's been helping him was actually, like, his secretary, because I called that last week. So I was like, yes, I was right. Because there's something about the younger version that looks similar to the older version. Like, it feels like that's what she used to look like when she was a teenager, you know?
Yeah, you could pick that up, yes. You know, I think I did have a little bit more sympathy for Joseph this week than before, because I did feel like, yeah, that they were dragging it out a little bit in New Cap City, the way that they, you know, each week. But at the same time, I said, this man is a man who lost both his wife and his daughter. And for some reason, you know, when they finally met, you know, I had a little bit more sympathy. But yeah, but I'm glad that now, okay, he's out of there. We can get rid of him being the drug, you know, being addicted to amp and all this, and moving on with the story.
Right. And I find that I really like James Marsters' character on here. I like him way better than I like Clarice. So
you're going to like his character no matter what he's in, no matter what he
does. That's not true. I did not like him.
For who?
I did not like him on Smallville. There you go. I actually watched Smallville for him, and it sucked. But the thing is, I've talked about how much I don't like Clarice over and over again.
Yes.
So when they're having this big battle and you know that one of them is going to die, I'm like, come on, James! And you're like, no, he's not going to... You know he's not going to make it. But I do like the STO fighting each other. And I was just wondering what was going on with his hair this week. I was like, he just decided not to comb it. It was all crazy looking. But I did, you know, he comes off as very manipulative, especially of young teens. Getting them to step over that line and become criminals and killers, so that was a bit creepy.
And given Lainey no choice in the matter, you know. But I do have to admit, going back to Sister Clarice, when she came out, when the bomb went up, and you saw that she had got out of the car, I did feel for you, Olivia, because I thought, oh no, she's not dead. You know?
I really didn't think she was going to be dead, especially when they showed the woman on the bridge, and I was like, oh, she's gonna get out of the car. Like, I knew that was going to happen, but, yeah, the thing about Caprica is they've got storylines that I really, really like. I like everything with the Daniel Grayson. I like all Greystone. I like all his stuff,
yes.
And I like the revenge plot, and I like the Adamas. I really like Sam Adama, but, man, the stuff that I don't like is really grating. And I'm really hoping that they do some course correction and make it to where I want to love this show. I absolutely want to love it. And there's parts that I do, but then there's parts that just hurt my head.
Yeah, but it still hasn't kind of gelled together. Like the story, like you said, some of the storylines are going in these directions that they don't need to go to. It's like, come on, let's pull it back in and keep with some of these main stories. You know, there's enough there for it.
Right, I agree. Greg, comments?
Yeah, I agree. I just want the show to gel a little bit more. Unless, you know, all of the things that we're seeing at this point are really going to tie in together later. You know, maybe she's going to find a way to, you know, make a Cylon avatar of, you know, her dead brother or something. Or, you know, who knows?
I was going to say, do we really want to see that? Because personally, I don't.
Well, no, that could be the whole reason why everyone wants a Cylon in their house. You know, they want to try to resurrect their loved ones or something, and that could be the beginning of, you know, how, you know, the whole Cylon race kind of spreads. Who knows? I don't know.
I was going to say, because that worked so well on Supernatural this week.
Right.
Yeah, maybe I'm, like, subconsciously mixing plot lines. Sorry about that.
All right. I'm going to give my plug for Spartacus this time, and I'll try to be concise, but you know I get excited about these things. But I know you guys haven't started watching it yet, and most people probably haven't watched it because they heard that the show is just nothing but you know, visual gratification and eye candy and things like that. And I wanted to point out that the executive producer of the show is actually a writer from Buffy and Angel. And it feels like he gave the executives what they wanted for the first few episodes, which was just a lot of eye candy. And then he actually started giving you plot and story and moving storylines. And this week's episode, I finished it up, and I was crying like a baby. I was surprised that I was, but they've been doing some really surprising things for the last few weeks. The storyline is basically people trying to get ambition and people trying to just survive. You got your slaves and your gladiators who are just trying to make it out of there and hopefully get their freedom, and then you've got your people who are owning the slaves who are trying to move up in the social standings, and those two things do not necessarily mix, and they're doing some really good character development. You know, you're comparing and contrasting what people want in life, and got Spartacus and Crixus, who are the main two gladiators, and their lives are on parallels, and I really find that very, very interesting. So watch it. It's on Netflix. I was like, it's on Netflix Instant, and it's on Stars for the five people who have Stars. So there you go.
Well, I mean, when you first described it to me, you were just talking about all the nudity and the blood that was everywhere. But so I wasn't necessarily wanting to watch it, but it seems like it's grown on you. So I'll give it a shot.
Well, it's not just it's grown on me, but it's also it's become more complicated. It's not just about the blood and the sex and the eye candy. It's actually got a really good story, and it was devastating. Like, this week's episode was absolutely devastating, and they earned that because they've slowly given you the pieces that lead to that devastation. So yeah, please give it a shot. Oh,
I will give it, even after your description of the castration scene, I will still give it a shot.
Just close your eyes for that bit, because it's literally a little section at the end of last week's episode. So I've warned you that it's coming. So, you know, close your eyes. It's all good.
Thanks.
Definitely.
All right. Legend of the Seeker. Go.
Yes. I will go because this is one of my favorite series, and this week's episode was really interesting because it was a Kaylin-centric episode where you see her up against Nikki, and what Nikki, who is sort of the leader of the Sisters of the Dark, she put a spell on Kaylin that bound them together, so anything that happened to Nikki happened to Kaylin, and so it was kind of interesting to see, you know, what happened with that, because Nikki, again, wants to get to the Stone of Tears, and so, you know, she then, you know, had Richard at her beck and call, because if he didn't do exactly what she said, something would happen to Kaylin, and in fact, a couple of different things happened along the way, and I have to admit that it was nice getting back to an episode where you really did see, you know, a story that talked about, like, Kaylin and Richard and their relationship, because I really feel like season two has been a lot more about Kara. And even though I love Kara, and she has, you know, become my favorite character in a lot of ways, which to me is sort of like a double-edged sword, because in season one, I really liked the relationship between Richard and Kaylin and seeing that develop. And so I missed that, and so I enjoyed the episode because of that. But, you know, and not having Kara's, you know, in it quite as much.
Well, you know how I feel about that, which is I like Kara the most. I mean, she is by far my favorite character, and they've done a lot to make her really interesting and a really compelling character, because she's the evil villain from last season who has, you know, seen the error of her ways, but in a way that's really realistic. Uh-huh. Well, you realize she's basically been brainwashed since she was a child to believe in no weakness and no mercy, and to believe in the calling of her sisterhood or whatever. And now she's actually seeing a wider world and understanding what morals are and understanding the difference. Well, she's trying to understand the difference between right and wrong. And all of that is just fascinating to watch. And so she's way more interesting to see versus Richard and Kaylin, because there's the obvious complication of their relationship, which is they can never sleep together. Mm-hmm. But you know that they love each other. You know that eventually they're going to end up being together some kind of way. And there's no doubt in that. So to me, it's not as interesting or as compelling. And it feels like they've already done everything in that storyline or in that direction. So I'm going to definitely watch the episode because, you know, Nikki is evil and you want her to die. And hopefully she'll die by the end of the episode. But I don't know if there's that much room for growth in the Kaylin and Richard relationship area.
And I think, like, as they go on, you know, and it's interesting because I'm starting to read the books now. You know, it's interesting watching the difference between what they're doing with the TV series versus the book. You know, but as their characters develop and more things come in, the relationship will be tested in different ways. But I think going back to Kara, it's interesting because, like you said, she's come such a long way from when we first met her. And the interesting thing also, say, in this episode was the scene between her and Kaylin, and to see how that, after everything that Kara had learned about her father and what really happened, she was able to empathize and help Kaylin with Kaylin and her relationship with her father. So it was neat to see Kara being able to help Kaylin in that way.
I look forward to the episode. Is there any other last final comments you guys have?
No, I'm good here.
Yes, and I want to say this has been a great first podcast. Thank you for inviting me, you know, to come in and do these. This has been really fun.
All right.
And Ryan, it's been great chatting with you again. And Livia, thank you so much for having me again. It's great to contribute from the Midwest.
Thanks. I was like, thank you guys, because without your participation, I wouldn't really have a podcast. I'd just be talking to myself, and people would think I was crazy. So
we love you anyway,
On that final comment, if there's any comments you guys have as an audience, you want to give us some feedback, ask some questions, you remember you can always write to us at tvcampfire@gmail.com. All right. See you guys next week.